All right, we're going to bring it. The silver thread, or the golden thread. It's happening, right? It's happening. Okay, we got a couple of things. January 21. This was last week's, and then this week, as I prepared for last week, see, so nobody was here, including me. This week, God added a few more things. It's been a pretty interesting week to kind of follow along, so we'll just do that, all right? So let's look. The first thing, I wanted to give the report on the teaching and discipleship training schools in Hong Kong and then also Malaysia. I did three there just in December, so that was 3 weeks there, and it was amazing. They gave me 3 hours for class, but I was living in the dormitories, and we were, whatever they did, I did. We ate around the tables. So we had more informal discipleship that was wonderful. Informal discipleship in both Hong Kong and Malaysia. And all the programs, like Mary said, 100% of the young people said they're going to go on, take their next step in missions. So that's was pretty exciting. In Hong Kong, we went out and feeding the poor people and giving them rice and oil, things like that. So that was a lot of fun doing that. We're meeting a lot of the wonderful local poor people, and had a lot of laughs with that, a lot of good times with that, because they just do a regular route there, and have really made friendship with the people that need some help. In Malaysia, I just went to the university with the young people, and Malaysia has a lot of Muslims from other countries there. So we walked onto the university campus. First person I met is from Kazakhstan, a Muslim. So I just introduced myself. Hey, my name's Joseph, and I'm an interpreter of dreams. I can help you interpret your dreams. And so we had a lot of fun with that. Muslims from Kazakhstan, Muslims from Saudi Arabia, and Muslims from Egypt. So that was good. One of the interesting things that happened was the students, we all came in together. And we went to the cafeteria. There's nobody in the cafeteria. But they sat down around a table, pulled out a guitar, and just started worshiping God. They worshiped God for over an hour. And then people, like a magnet, were just pulled in to the cafeteria because of the worship. And then they sat there for another 3 hours visiting with all the people that came to enjoy their worship time. It was like a magnet. The Spirit of God was pulling people in because the place was empty. And I thought, this is really amazing. And so worship is a key. Worship is a real key to seeing the kingdom of God expand and raise the curiosity of people that come around. So the young people stay up much later than I do. So I stayed with them for a few hours and then maybe 3 or 4 hours. And then they kept staying there. And I worked my way back to where I was staying in their dormitory. But worship at the cafeteria started drawing people in. Okay, let's go on here a little bit. I don't know if you heard this. There was a conference, a passion conference, January 3rd to 5th, because I just heard about it this week. So it's over. You and I can't go, all right? But it's basically age 17 to 25. They're focused on college students, all right? And this came to Atlanta, Georgia. It's been in the planning for a year now. And they came to Atlanta, Georgia, and they were in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 55,000 young people. That's kind of the age bracket that I've been focusing on, too, you know, the 17 to 25, because as our schools that I'm training in, the ages have dropped. They used to be 25 to 35. Now it's 17 to 25. And just over the last 2 years, the ages have dropped. And I said, what's going on here? Because I read the surveys about this age group, and they're not good surveys. They say this generation is not in good shape, this group. But God didn't read the surveys, and he's pouring out his spirit on the 17 to 25-year-olds. Okay? And it's happening around the world. One of the schools I taught in, well, two of the schools I taught in had a lot of German kids in it, 17 to 25. So apparently God's doing something in Germany. Okay, we don't hear about it on the news. We got to find other places to get our news, right? I need to find other places to find out what God is doing. All right, so this this was really interesting, this thing, January, just happened January 3rd to the 5th, 2024. And one of the interesting things that happened is they on the last day, they were worshiping the Lord. They had a lot of the worship, some of the songs that we were singing, Elevation was there, and Passion was there, and many of the other groups. And there was 55,000 young people packed in that stadium. It was sold out. There was no room left. No room left in this stadium. And the last day, the last half hour, the Spirit of God seemed to just fall on the stadium. First, it started on the people playing the instruments. The band. All the band stopped playing because they were weeping. So there was no music. The worship leaders who were trying to lead the worship all fell on their faces on the stage and were face down. So there's nobody leading and there's no music playing. And 55,000 people continued to worship the Lord. And everybody has video of it now. It's showing up everywhere. So this is a minute and a half of that worship time in Atlanta, Georgia. So we just have a minute and a half of it. And you'll recognize the song. No music playing. It picks up at the end. That went on for half an hour. Half an hour without music for 20 minutes. As the Spirit of God moved on the hearts of these young people, they're all college students. There was 1,600 universities represented. All 50 states were represented at that conference. Did you hear anything about it? It wasn't on the news. We need to find other places to get our news. Because that just happened, January 3rd to 5th. Atlanta, Georgia, in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 55,000 young people worshiping Jesus. The leaders face down on the stage, the band not playing, but it went on and on. It was 3 days of teaching and worship and praise, and God is moving among this young age. And we are seeing it as an answer to our prayers. Okay? All the surveys said this group isn't so good. But God didn't read the surveys. And He's pouring out His Spirit on this group, this age group. So remember that as you work with this age group. If you got grandkids or you got nieces and nephews in that age group, God is moving in power around the earth. Around the earth, there were several nations that were represented there too, university students. Okay, let's see what I have next here. John 15:7. You can open your Bibles to John 15:7. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Now, abide, the word abide actually means, in the original language, it means to live in expectation. Live expecting. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, if his words are abiding in you, you probably won't be praying, Lord, give me a Mercedes Benz. My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. There was an old song that did that. Okay? If you have his word abiding in you, your prayers probably will line up with what he wants. And that's why the word is living in you, and you are abiding in him. Awesome. Get trimmed up. Get ready to be expecting what God wants to do. All right? Let's go to the next one. Abide means to live in expectation. So that's what we want to see happen here. Acts chapter 12 is where Peter was thrown in prison. All right? Peter's thrown in prison, and he's after the festival. Herod killed James, the Christian, and then took Peter because everybody was so happy that James was executed. He took Peter and said, well, he threw him in prison, but we got a festival going on now, so I'll pull him out afterwards. Acts 12 says the church went into a season of intense intercession, asking God to free Peter from prison. He's one of their leaders. Free Peter from their intense, and it says, other versions say, fervent intercession, fervent prayer. So the church is praying for freedom. And then in verse 7, suddenly, this is what we need, you guys. We need suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in the prison. Light shone in the cell. He poked Peter on the side and said, hey, get up quick. And when he got up, the chains fell off of his hands, which were chained to other guards. There were 16 guards watching him. Next one. Angel said to him, get dressed, put on your sandals, and he did so. If an angel speaks to you, just kind of follow what they're doing, okay? Okay, and he tells him, put on your cloak, okay? Now, the King James says, gird yourself up, which means they wore robes at that time. And gird yourself up means pick up the robe and tie it around your waist, so you don't trip, because this is going to be fast. We're going to run out of here. It was difficult, apparently. I've never done this, but it was difficult, apparently, for the disciples to run with their robes on. So when they said, gird yourself up, they'd pick up their robe and tie it around their waist so that they could run fast. That's what the angel's saying. Get ready, we're going to run fast. And Peter went out and kept following him, because the angel said, follow me. Peter was familiar with that phrase, right? Jesus used to say that all the time, follow me. Now the angel says, follow me. Peter went out, kept following him. And this is interesting. In our interaction with angels, sometimes we don't know if it's real or not, because it does, many times it happens fast. He didn't know what was happening with the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. Next verse 10, after they passed the first guard and the second, they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened up by itself. They went out, walked along a narrow street. Suddenly, the angel is gone. And Peter goes, that just happened. That just happened. I'm out. I'm going to go talk to my friends. So he goes over to his friend's house, actually John Mark's house, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He goes over there, and this is what happens next. Suddenly the angel left him, and he goes over to John Mark's place. And he knocked on the door. And a maid named Rhoda came to the gate. And she recognized Peter's voice. Apparently Peter is like, let me in. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. And Rhoda recognized his voice. But she didn't open the gate. She ran back in and said, hey, everybody, Peter's standing at the gate. Now, what were they just doing for the last few days? Praying for his release. What'd they say to Rhoda? Next verse. You're crazy. You're crazy, they said to her. But she kept, no, she said, no, he's at the gate. He's at the gate. I recognize his voice. No, 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 it must be his angel. You see, the early church believed that each person had an angel that could maybe look like themselves. I think that's where we get the phrase being two places at the same time. All right? All right, it's his angel, they were saying. But Peter kept knocking on the door. Hey, let me in. Let me in. Finally, they all moved to the door. And they saw him there. They opened the door. They opened the gate. They see him there. And they're all amazed. Like, wait, you were in prison. And he should have said, yeah, but weren't you praying? Did you expect this? Did you expect this? They were amazed. They were amazed that he was free. And yet that's what they were praying for. If you abide in Jesus, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, I'll do it. That's expectation. Peter kept knocking. They were amazed because they weren't expecting it. If we'd raise our expectations, then the unexpected would be expected. The unexpected would be expected if we'd raise our expectations. Okay, what else we got in here? I got some other suddenlies. All right? And you'll be familiar with all these because God wants to move suddenly. Many times he moves suddenly. But we need to raise our expectations so we're ready for that. We don't want to miss what God is doing. This thing, January 3rd to 5th, I didn't know anything about it. And it happened. 55,000 young people in that stadium worshiping God, learning more about Jesus and how to grow in relationship with him. That's what that was all about. All I know is that last February, we had the outpouring of God's Spirit in Asbury, and that was run by 17 to 25-year-olds. There was 20,000 people that came to that university and stood on the grass. Can't do that now because of the snow. Isn't that interesting? It was last year. The snow is deep now. They're last year, 20,000 people in February, 23, were standing there waiting to get in the chapel. And the leaders of the university said, you know, this is hard on our building, you guys. We've got too many people in the chapel. You're going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That outpouring went for 3 weeks, and then they moved it to a civic auditorium. And then it continued there because the people at the university were afraid of their chapel being damaged, afraid of the building. So they, with that, it then spread from Asbury. It spread to 200 universities, and that's about where we ended. We didn't see any more until we see here. It must be on 1,600 universities because they all showed up the first of this month in Atlanta, Georgia, to worship Jesus together. 55,000 college students. So suddenly, there was an angel. You'll recognize these. Suddenly there was an angel, and with the angel was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, at Jesus' birth, right? Right? So that's your shepherd's field. Go ahead, the next one. Just some suddenlies here. Acts 2:2. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Not a wind like we have this morning, but the sound of a wind. The sound of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And then flames of fire came down and divided among and rested on their heads. The day of Pentecost. Suddenly. Are we ready for this? Where are our expectations? Next one. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Acts 16:26. You're very familiar with Paul in prison. Interesting. Christians get thrown in prison in the book of Acts. Certainly that wouldn't happen now. Acts 16. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And Paul said, hey, just stay here. We don't want to get the soldiers in trouble. Stay here. Okay, and then the Philippian jailer comes in and says, who are you people? And what must I do to be saved? And they lead him to Jesus. Okay, I think I have one more than there. Mark 13:16 says, when Jesus comes back, suddenly he finds you sleeping. So don't be sleeping, because you don't want him to find us sleeping. That's sleep. Get your sleep at night. Yeah, get your sleep. That's fine. But he doesn't want you sleeping spiritually and not awake as to what is going around. What's going on among the young people? What's going on in our town? What's going on in your town? What's going on in the region? What's happening in Nebraska? What's ahead in Nebraska? We don't want to be sleeping as to what God wants to do. We want to raise our expectations and stay awake as to what God wants to do. We can live our days ablaze. We can live our days on fire, our days ablaze. And Mary has a saying. Mary has a saying, expectation is, just a minute,
the breeding ground for miracles.
Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. If we're not expecting anything, what are we going to see? We need to be expecting. We need to raise our expectation of what God wants to do in our lives, in our everyday lives, and in our church lives, and in our region. Okay, we want to be expecting what God wants to do. That way we won't miss it when it happens. Because many times he moves suddenly. Last slide. This is what I believe God wants to do. He wants to impart a new expectation for 2024 for us. Especially with Tracy's announcement here. What is that all about? I don't know. But let's be awake and let's be expecting. Let's be expecting what God wants to do. We are in the heartland of the United States. We're like in the beating heart of the United States. They call it the heartland of America. We're here. And God's heart is beating. And if we raise our expectations, we will see what he is doing. And suddenly he will move. And will we notice it? If our expectations are high, we will notice. We will see it, and we can be a part of what he is doing. So this is the impartation today. God is going to impart another level of expectation to each of us today. So just hold out your hands. We sang the song, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is the spirit of expectation. It's going to increase. It's up a notch what God wants to do. So, Lord, we just impart that spirit of expectation of what you are going to do in our lives and in this region, in the heartland of the United States. Lord, we look forward to 2024. Wherever our expectation is now, God, would you kick it up a notch? We ask for the impartation, the free impartation of that from you. Move it up to another level. That we can expect you to do something and be involved with us. And then we can notice it when you move suddenly. In Jesus' name, amen.